with Vince Farrar. I'm Jimmy Himes. Tennessee taking on Florida tonight in an SEC basketball game. Florida ended up having to play Monday night. It was a makeup game. They lost to Ole Miss by 16, came directly to Knoxville. Now they take on the Vols at 6 o'clock. Rick Barnes met with the media earlier this week. Here are comments from Tennessee's head coach.
What does John Wilkerson need to do to increase his minutes?
I think consistency. I think, one, he knows that we need him to bring the energy, and he will. John, again, I just think he's still getting back from his COVID over Christmas, but what we need out of this time of year, it's all going to be based on production, to be quite frank, you know, and the guys that are getting it done at that point in time will be the guys that play.
Bob, you need to be a better student now at this point, helping come off the bench?
I don't know. I think that, you know, he is working hard to play the role, whatever role he has to be in. John's always been a terrific teammate and will do whatever that but Urosh has gone in and has given us a lot of he's brought a lot of energy to it, and we're hoping that John will continue to do it. I thought John the other night did a good job. He did. He came in and what he did, but like I said, we're gonna play the guys that are getting it done at that point in time.
What has surprised or impressed you most about Sakai? Like
probably his toughness, you know, he's resilient. He has a short memory. He's very competitive, so I don't know if I could put it down to one thing, but I think if you took all that, and the best way to do it is just, and I've said it before, it's in his DNA. I mean, you know, he's extremely competitive. He's not going to back away from a challenge, and he's a really good teammate. You know, he's aggressive on both ends, and that's, you know, I think he's a guy that probably his whole life has, everywhere he's gone, he's had to, you know, buck up and say, "Hey, I'm going to play. I'm here. I'm going to get in the game." Whether it's back in a park the parks that he'd go play in New York. I mean, he's probably not the first guy that you walk up, you'd pick on your team. But I think after you see him one time, he'd probably be the first guy. But I think he's just always been a fighter, and that's how he kind of plays the game.
Rick, Josiah, his three-point shooting percentage kind of gone up in the last four games or so. Is he doing anything differently, or is this just a matter of kind of shot himself out of the way?
No, I think he's a little more selective. I think he's getting more to where he's shooting the shots. I mean, you know, and again, as a team, we're better when we play from inside out, and because those are the way we practice. And so I do think that when Joe's got his rhythm, and we've seen him shoot the ball extremely well, and so I've said before, I just, again, as long as he'll take the shots that he practices with the same speed and tempo, he'll be fine shooting the ball.
Rick, since the Kentucky game, the guys have really put in a couple of great defensive efforts, you know, against Vandy and LSU. Talk about that being key maybe for this team moving forward.
Well, for the most part, we've been a pretty sound defensive team. We've had some breakdowns. We actually playing a terrific game the other night. In the last couple minutes, we gave up three straight layups where it was a miscommunication on two of them in terms of how we guarded a dribble handoff, and we shouldn't. And that was an easy switch that we had talked about. I can't tell you why we broke down at that point in time. And then we got back up one time where we were got in the gap and stared at the ball as opposed to staying alert. But overall, I think our defense has been good, and we can certainly get better. Really excited the other night that we took the challenge to pick up some charges. We did that. We need to do that. But you look around the country, you look around our league, I mean, there's a lot of teams playing really good defense, and if you don't play it, I don't think you're going to give yourself much of a chance to win. And if you do play it consistently on nights, again, when you struggle to score, and there's a lot of teams that struggle to score, you look around the country, as I watch some games now, every team has gone through some times where they just have a hard time putting the ball in the basket. So if you don't excel on the defensive end, it makes for long nights.
Does Euros' presence in the lineup just make you a more physical team?
He definitely brings a high level of physicality to our team. He does. And I think he helps guys. Just, you know, people would not expect this, but if when you really – watch Santi on tape. Santi's a very physical player. I mean, you don't realize it, and people probably don't realize it as much unless they watch him, how hard he works get through screens and, you know, dribble handoffs. I mean, he really works hard to get through them. But Urosh brings that to us. He does. And we need more of that, really, from Olivier and Brandon. We need, because those guys have the bodies to do it. And I'm hoping that will be something they can learn from Urosh that they can add, and if they do, it's gonna help us.
Justin started to make some shots, and he seems to be getting into a rhythm. Do you see him getting into that rhythm and kind of taking that next step?
I think what Justin's done the last couple games, and it's something that I think it helps you shoot the ball better, is he's done a much better job on the defensive end. I mean, you can tell he's been much more locked in on that end of the court, really trying to, you know, stick with our game plan, what we're doing. And I say this all the time. If you just play the game and let the offense come to you, if you're a good shooter, you're going to be a good shooter. If you're a good driver, you're going to be a good driver. If you're a good offensive rebounder, you're going to be a good offensive rebounder. It's when guys start concentrating or getting anxious on the offensive end where I think that really affects everything else. So if you'll just go into the game, I tell them all the time, I think one of the hardest things to do is say, I've got to make shots. You know, you need to make shots, but you're not going to make them all. And really in college, very few guys make over half of them when they shoot it, especially perimeter players. So with that said, you know, get lost in the game, play the game, play it on both ends and impact the game when you're not making shots. If you get that mindset, the guys that we recruit, they'll be fine at all the other things, I think, if they buy into that.
Talk about the challenge of finding a consistent rotation with this many players. Do you feel like you found any consistency with this last week, and how important is it to find that?
Well, it's important, and again, separation is what gives you a chance to get some kind of rotation. You know, if you can get guys where you know from night to night what they're going to produce and the reliability of what they're going to be able to do on both ends of the court, yeah, it helps you a lot. And I think it helps. I think it helps them. But the last couple games, I do think we've been able to get a little bit more of a rotation in our mind in terms of what we're trying to do. But every game, some different games can change it, you know, dictated by foul trouble and things like that. But you know, the last two games we've played. Started out with, you know, Urosh and Olivier together, and then we've gone with John and Brandon together, you know, some youth and experience. And Brandon obviously being a bigger body and can bang against certain guys better than John possibly inside. But then foul trouble can change that around. And then we obviously feel on the front line that when we need to get Josiah at the four, you know, we – get better in some areas there offensively, and the way he's rebounding the ball. When he's rebounding the ball the way he's capable of, that's when we become quicker, faster on our transition game, because he can come out of there with it quicker. But again, it's consistency in terms of what we know we're going to get, and it does help you. And I think it helps the players to know when about, you know, what time of the game they're going to go into it.
He's done it consistently.
He's been very effective with it. But it's not just it's different angles you're trying to get him to come in from. You can't, you know, if a team knows he's going to bring it from the middle part of the floor all the time, if you break the court down into thirds, they know he's attacking from here. They can sit on it, you know. But that's why we try to get him to move more. I think a big thing that I think we're helping him with is introducing him to the fact that you've got to learn to move without the ball. And by doing getting to the sides, it gives him a chance now to come in from a different angle. A really nice play the other night. You know, Santi came off the baseline, took one dribble to the middle. Kennedy was up top, and he made a great cut down. He showed his explosiveness without moving without the ball. The more he grasps moving without the ball and getting himself on different areas of the court, the more effective he's going to become without the ball. And because he is so fast, you know, when he gets running and if he can catch it on the run and somebody give him a pass, he's going to do a nice job getting it where he needs to get it. But that's the fun part about coaching guys, that when they come in, you know, you hope to expand their game. And again, once he grasps that part of it consistently and he starts getting lost, Santi does a good job of that, you know, moving, giving it up, moving, and it's just going to add to his game. And I would say the same thing about Zakai. Zakai needs to pass it some and get moving and get away. Like, he got lost the other night for that. That was a big three hit, but he got lost. You know, he passed, moved. The more movement we get, the better we're going to be on. And I would say that for any team. I just think you get movement, you get ball movement and player movement. It's hard to guard.
Rick, in terms of Chandler, he's been struggling at the foul line in particular conference game. Have you been able to pinpoint?
Yeah, he falls back, and he's got to get up there and stay on the line and shoot the ball. He's a good shooter, but you know what? It's concentration to where he's gonna, you know, he stays after practice every day, and he'll make 94, 95 out of 100, but he gets in the game and he doesn't. It's concentration, and you know, people think that's an easy shot. It's not as easy as everybody thinks. I mean, you know, you're running up and down the floor. You're playing hard. You're playing defense, and you're cutting off screens. And then all at once, the game just comes to a total stop. And you got to be able to really get your concentration and get your breathing right, and you know, get into, you know, where you're really concentrating as opposed to just throwing it up there. And but his all his shots this year, if you look at it on the free throw line, he's backing up, and before the ball's even halfway to the rim, he's already dropped his arms down to his side and falling and walking backwards. And he's just got to go toward the rim and follow through and do what he's. I mean, he can make shots. I mean, he's a shooter. He's concentration.
What have you seen from Florida, and what would you want him to do well?
Well, Florida, you know, Mike White. What can you say? I mean, again, he's lost a valuable player and won a big game at home against Mississippi State. A key guy went down. Then had another good win Saturday. They got a tough week. I mean, they're at Mississippi tonight. They're here. Mike's back to doing the things that I always remember his teams doing. Changing defenses a lot, like what we faced here Saturday. You know, 2-2-1 can fall back, can run and double at any time. Can throw a 1-3-1 at you. Can mix up some zones in there with his man, and he's doing that. They looks like, and you'd expect it, the last two games they've shot a few more threes since they don't have the post guy they normally throw it into, and obviously playing through their guards even more. But Mike, he does a great job. I mean, he's taken what he's got, and he's just adjusted to it. He hasn't complained about any of it. He said, hey, this is what we got to do. This is how we got to play. And I do think his team, they have great confidence in him, because they have followed his lead to the hilt. And they can put numbers on you if you don't guard them. And they can turn you over if you don't take care of the basketball.
Rick Barnes, Tennessee head coach. Tennessee moving up to number 18 in the most recent AP poll. Florida unranked. They're 12-6, 3-3 in SEC play. And a quick note, as far as Lady Vols tennis, they swept the SEC honors this past week. They had the player of the week in Eleonora Molinaro, and then the freshman of the week in Elsa Thomasy. So congratulations to them. Of course, the men are ranked number one, second week in a row, and they're unanimous number one this week in the ITA poll. The Lady Vols take on Auburn tomorrow night. Auburn has yet to win a game. Tip-off is at 8 o'clock on the SEC Network Plus. Here are comments from Tennessee head coach Kelly Harper.
You know, Auburn's at the bottom of the division or of the conference, but you've said it before, there are no easy games in the SEC. What do you know about Auburn?
Well, I know they're going to be tough. They're going to be feisty. You know, they're going to be excited to have a top five team coming in their building, and you know, they've got good athletes. They're going to try to get after you defensively, try to get to the basket offensively. It's another game you better play. You know, that's you got to go in and take care of business every single night, or you just don't go home happy.
Does it feel like the target's kind of growing on you guys' back now that you're still undefeated? And even though, like we said, they're at the bottom of the conference, is still kind of like, you know, they're going to come after you because you're the last undefeated team.
Yeah, you know, what I'm trying to do is trying to approach it to try to relieve that target a little bit for our team. We just try to keep finding ways to nag at them to get better, you know, try to keep coaching them and trying to keep asking for more so that they know we're just not sitting back and relaxing with where we're at. And I think if we can continue that attitude and that mindset, I think it takes a little bit of that off of their plate. But, you know, I felt this way every year I've been here. When you put on a jersey, when you're Tennessee and you walk in the gym, I think you have a target on your back. I've felt that the entire time here. It is different right now, obviously, with our record and where we're standing.
Tamari, no surprise, added to the Naismith Defensive Player of the Year watch list. Just what does she bring to this team?
Well, specifically talking about her defense, our whole defensive package is built around her. And what we're doing, we rely on her. She cleans up a lot of mistakes. She alters offensive game plans before the game starts. We know that. People change what they do when they're playing us because of Tamari and her presence in the paint.
Kelly, do you have any updates on Kian and Tess? Will Tess be available Friday? Do you know anything more about the extent of Kian's injury?
Yeah, good news and bad news. The good news is Tess is back in practice today. The bad news is Kian did tear ACL, and we are without her the rest of the year. And it is a gut punch to our team. I hate it for Kian. She's meant so much to this team, and she will continue to be a great leader for us. But it'll just be in a different role.
Do we know on her status moving forward, if she were to want to come back, would she be able to?
As of right now, I don't think that's a possibility due to the NCAA rules.
That's Kelly Harper. And, again, the ball is taken on Florida tonight. Vince, the biggest key for Tennessee against the Gators?
Well, I think Tennessee has to have success in the paint offensively. No Castleton there. And another thing is perimeter defense. Florida.
Vince, I appreciate it. Thank you very much, and we look forward to visiting, seeing you again tomorrow.
Thanks, Jimmy.
That is Vince Farrar. And again, Tennessee taking on Florida. Tennessee coming in with a 4-3 SEC record. The Gators are 3-3. Tip off at 6:00. I want to thank our guests, Mark Pankratz, for joining us, and Ron Higgins as well. And you want to keep it right here for Tennessee basketball. This has been Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.